Well, I'd like to invite Pastor Emma Wilkinson to come and share our Good Friday message. Let's give her a hand this morning. Thanks, Pastor Emma.
Good morning, church. What a good day to be here, isn't it? Before I start, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that this, God, is a good day. Father God, as we celebrate and remember what your Son did for us, as we celebrate what your Son did for us on that cross. Father God, we honour you today. We declare that you alone are a holy God, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good Friday. This is a day that we remember Jesus for his life, for his suffering, for his death, for his blood, for his love. God, our Father, created you and I. He created all people. He created heaven and earth out of love. God is holy. There is no wrong, no sin, no evil in him. Sin he detests. And out of his character and who he is, being love, God is love. He made you for the purpose of loving you and for you to love him and be in a relationship with him. God gave us freedom to choose to be in a relationship with him, already knowing that we would make mistakes, that we would wrong him. Sin against him, hurt him by not receiving him as our God. And yet whilst God knew we would not choose him initially, and the consequence for this was a physical death, God made a way for you to be in his presence, to be in the presence of a holy God through the one and only person who could make it possible for us, Jesus Christ. God's Son, who was without sin, who faced, endured, and suffered the most excruciating death by crucifixion. Jesus' death and resurrection is God's act of love for us. He was brutally killed. He was tortured. He died. He experienced all our mistakes, all our sin, all our wrongdoing, all our hurt and pain inflicted by other people's wrongdoing. He did this for us that we would choose God, we would choose him, we would choose life and be reconciled back to God, our Father, our Creator. In Matthew 1 and Luke 3, God records the family history and genealogy of Jesus. Jesus, born of his mother's blood, adopted by Mary's husband Joseph, comes from a family tree that traces back to being a descendant of Abraham and King David on Mary's side, and back to Adam, the first man God created on Joseph's side. Our God is all about relationship and family. Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart. The curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, completely in half. God tore the veil. The mentioning of the temple and the curtain or the veil takes us back to the time of King David's reign. Hundreds of years before the birth and death of Jesus, in the time of King David's reign, David desired to build a temple to worship God, to honour God, a place where the presence of God could be a permanent place to dwell on earth, where people could worship God, where animals would be sacrificed and their blood given as an offering to God for how they had wronged him over and over and over and over again. Because King David was a man of war and had shed much blood, God told King David not to build the temple to house his presence, but his son Solomon would succeed his father as king and he would build the temple. The temple was made of the richest materials of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, precious stones, jewels of all kinds, fine stone and marble. It had many rooms, courtyards, storerooms, upstairs rooms, inner rooms, rooms for gifts dedicated to the Lord, and the inner sanctuary, which was the place for sin offerings to God. At the entrance to the most holy place where the presence of God rested, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept that housed his presence. At this entrance to God's presence hung a curtain, a veil made of fine linen, decorated with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and embroidered with figures of cherubim. The veil separated the Holy of Holies, which was the earthly dwelling of God's presence. The veil was there for the people's safety, because no one except the high priest could be in the Holy of Holies, could be in the presence of God. Only the high priests were permitted to go behind the veil once a year to offer sacrifices to God. They would tie a rope around their waist in case something went wrong and the other people had to drag the high priest out because they had died. Sin separates us from God. King Solomon's temple was built in Jerusalem. It was later destroyed and a second temple rebuilt to the same measurements and specifications as the first. The veil was near 19 metres high, 9 metres wide and 10 centimetres thick. The veil was woven of 72 cords. Each cord consisted of 24 strands. Two veils were made for the temple each year, and it took 300 priests to wash and clean and move the veil. The veil was huge. Not even an earthquake could tear that veil. God tore the veil in two, from top to bottom. And at the moment of Jesus' death, it signifies that moment of Jesus' sacrifice, of his blood, of his offering of himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And this means that we, that all of us, can now enter into the Holy of Holies. We can now stand in his presence without the threat of our life being snuffed out. We can come boldly before him, face to face, freely and with confidence. It is his very love for us through sending his own son, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we can now know the Father, that we can be in the presence of our holy God. Sin, it's a word that conjures up many connotations, a word that has been misused and misunderstood. And so simply put, sin is any unforgiveness, a word or action that does not align with the nature and character and word of God. Good Friday, the darkest day in history, the day that all light that was in Jesus was consumed by sin. Jesus suffered an excruciating death. The day that he took on all humankind's sin, past, present, future. The day that Jesus fulfilled his Father's last will, obedience to death and death on a cross. And it's also the most profound moment in history for all eternity. For at that moment of Jesus' death, God tore the veil that was in the temple, the curtain that separated people from the place where the presence of God dwelled. At the moment of the death of Jesus was the moment that his blood, Jesus himself, was the blood sacrifice once and for all for the atonement of our sin. And so the veil that separated the people from being in the presence of God was torn in two by God from top to bottom. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Matthew 27, verses 45 to 54. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again and released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." God tore the veil, so we can now come face to face, boldly before the throne of God, our Father, because Jesus has died for us and Jesus has risen again. And it's through Christ that we truly are set free. And so in Hebrews, we read in 10 verses 19 to 22, "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him." And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come close to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. And so as we come before God, as we come boldly before him, that we would come with the prayer of David, which says, "Lord, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart." The veil inside of us needs to be removed from our heart. The veil of our own sin needs to be removed. For 1 John 1 verses 8 to 9 says, "If we boast that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time." God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, create in me a pure heart. What is the veil in your own heart that needs to be removed, that needs to be torn? Is it unforgiveness? Is it hatred, slander, gossip? A refusal to follow God and acknowledge him? Come before God, confess these things to him, that he would bring healing and cleansing. Pray the prayer of David, who worshipped the Lord, who had sinned greatly, he had murdered, he had committed adultery, yet he came boldly before the Lord and said, "Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Forgive me, for I have wronged you. I have sinned against you." Psalm 51, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. You know, hyssop was a healing herb. It was an antiseptic. It was used to heal injuries. It was used to heal digestive and intestinal gut issues. And it's helpful for respiratory issues. It's helpful for breathing. It gives life. It's not an accident that God uses this herb hyssop. It's a cleansing and healing herb, just as Jesus cleanses and heals us. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Pray the prayer that the Lord says, Matthew 6, verse 12, forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Forgive me for how I have sinned against you. And Lord, I forgive those who have wronged me. Last year, when we had our Good Friday service, it was a year where I came to this cross and I laid at the foot of the cross forgiveness for a person who had wronged me. Forgiveness extended to a person who had wronged me in a violent and a violation that was done as a very small child. Some would say that this sin would be unforgivable, but God forgives all sins when we come to Him. And He calls us to forgive and forgive and forgive and to extend forgiveness just as He has forgiven us. And so I laid at the foot of the cross forgiveness for this person. And I also asked forgiveness from God for how I had sinned against Him, for how I had harmed my body, which is the temple of God, who houses the Holy Spirit, how I had detested and attacked that in secret. But God saw. He saw those 20 years of self-injury. And so last year I laid at the foot of the cross, Lord, forgive me for how I've sinned against you in how I've hurt my body. And Lord, I forgive the person who has wronged me. And as we forgive and have been forgiven, Jesus truly sets us free. There is freedom indeed when we truthfully forgive and forgive and forgive and ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to cleanse you, to heal you, and He will set you free. If the worship team could come up, please. Could everybody just stand? Father God, we are so thankful that we can stand in your presence. We are so thankful that we can come boldly before you, our holy God, and speak truth about how we have wronged you, Lord, and forgive those who have wronged us. Father God, as your people stand here today, Lord, with eyes closed and heads bowed in awesome reverence of our holy God, for those people who are here today, Lord, who need to come to you and ask for your forgiveness for not following you, for not recognizing and acknowledging that you are a holy God, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that you could have eternal life with Him, with Father God forever. For those of you who are here today who need to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I come before you and I'm sorry for how I have been walking my own way, how I have not been following you. Father God, forgive me, cleanse me, heal me. Today I make you Lord of my life. If that's you today, I would like you to put your hand up, declare it as a step of faith. I will see your hand and you can put it down again. Thank you. For those of you who know God, who need to be reconciled to God, who need to be made right before Him, who need to seek forgiveness today and come back into His presence. Father God, Lord, for those people, please put your hand up. Do not miss this opportunity. Put it down again. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I know there's people that have put their hand up and it's very difficult to see with the lights. Church, let's pray this prayer together. Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who had no sin and was sin for me. I thank you that he died, that he rose again on the third day, and that he has set me free. And today I walk in your freedom. Today I follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.